Well, good morning, Parallel Church. I think today is a monumental day for many of us. And I don't know that I've felt this urge before, just as I was sitting there and worshiping, but I felt this urge before that the message that I'm about to give you is something that God wants you to hear. Something that I feel like this is His message for you. I'm just a vessel today, and I just really feel this urgency that God wants to speak to each one of you exactly where you are. That's all of you in the room here in Lethbridge. That's all of you in Tabor joining us right now with Pastor Renee and Jill. Welcome to all of you guys. Welcome to Claire's home. That's all of you joining us with Pastor Brian and Heidi. Welcome Okotoks with Pastor Joel and Tanisha. Welcome Lloyd Mister with Pastor Mike and Kara. Welcome to all of you. And for the first time, welcome all of you joining us in Swift Current with Pastor Tom and Lori. Welcome Lethbridge. Welcome all of you joining us online, wherever you're watching around the world. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Mark Twain said this. He says, the two most important days of your life are the days you were born and the day you find out why. Two most important days of your life is the day that you are born and the day you find out why. Do you know why you were born? Specifically, your purpose, your calling. And if you're not sure, I've got good news for you. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks unpacking your calling, your purpose, your why. And we're going to teach you and give you tools that are going to discover, that you're going to discover your God-given purpose. And here's what the Bible says. It's amazing because the Bible, what I love about the Bible is it says that it's God-breathed words translated through men for all of us. And what I love about the Bible is that the Bible isn't just a rule book or laws of do's and don'ts. It's an instruction manual. And in particular, God didn't place us on this earth and saying, you figure it out. God placed us on the earth with an instruction manual to show us our purpose, our why. David said this in Psalm 139. He says, For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This verse always makes me chuckle. Because if you picture, this is what I picture David when he's writing this psalm. I picture David standing in front of a mirror. And this is Kelly's translation now. But Kelly's translation is standing in front of a mirror and going, God, you done good when you made this. Because that's what it sounds like, doesn't it? It sounds like, man, God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You did good. Your works are wonderful when you made this. When's the last time you did that? Stood in front of the mirror and God, you did good. Now, come on, come on, come on. It sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? I mean, David sounds a little bit arrogant, except that when you insult a creation of something, right? Who do you insult? The creation or the creator? You insult the creator. So when we don't compliment ourselves, when we speak down about ourselves, when we go and we focus on all of our flaws and all of our lacks and all the rest of it, we're not insulting ourselves as much as we're insulting the creator. While it sounds like David is complimenting himself, in actuality, he's praising God, the creator. He goes on and he says this. He said, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All of the days God ordained for you were written, apparently, in a book. Can you imagine that there's a book in heaven that includes the details of your life? And according to David, it includes the details of your life before you even lived one of them. That God ordained the days that you were to live, wrote them down in a book. I don't know about you, but I'm curious. You're curious? And when I get to heaven, I want to check out that book. I want to check out that book and I want to read. And here's what I want to awaken in each one of us. I want to read, and I want you to read, the days ordained for you and saying, God purposed this for you. And I don't want you and I don't want me to be shocked and going, I could have done, you called me to do, you purposed that, and to be surprised. I want to go and I want to read what was written in the book before I even lived one day. I want to read and get to the last sentence and going, yes, I fulfilled God's purpose, God's plan, God's will. So the first thing we need to understand is that we are not an accident. There's not one person in here, no matter the circumstances in which you were born or the place that you were raised or not raised, you were not an accident. Even if your parents say you were an accident, you are not an accident. Before God made the earth, before you even lived a day, he wrote in a book, wrote it down. You know he's serious. Didn't just think it. He wrote it down, the days ordained for you, for me. We were created on purpose, every one of us. We were created on purpose, for a purpose, for such a time as this. We were placed here for this moment, in this circumstance. And this is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to hear from God. This is not just Kelly's ideas. This is written in the Bible. I want you to hear that this idea that every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a destiny. There's not one of us in here taking breath today that is not purposed for something or called. Because there's just an idea. There's an idea. There's an idea out there in Christianity that a few are called. I want you to see. I want you to understand that throughout the Bible, it says over and over and over and over and over again that every one of us were called. Paul said it. Look at this. Paul said it in Ephesians 2:10. For we, talking about all of us, for we are God's, what's that word? Masterpiece. That means you. That means me. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things, there it is again, that he planned for us long ago. He said the exact same thing that David said, that before I was born, God planned something, according to Paul, some good works, something impactful, something purposeful, something just for me. Isn't that good? Now we want to, in the next 3 weeks, we want to unpack what it is. Like, what is that? Because if we're not sure, if we don't know, or if we're like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I don't know. We want to know that we know. How many want to know? I want to know that I know that I know what God has purposed for me to do. And Paul's not writing this just to pastors and leaders. He wrote this to every believer. You are God's masterpiece. Now, throughout the series, we're going to look at the story of David. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, we're going to pick it up where David's introduced in the Bible. And we're going to see in the life of David that there's a guide and there's an example here of how God calls each of us. David's the one who said, before I was born, you made plans for me, purposes for me. And we want to see how God does this. How does God call us? What does God do? And there's going to be principles in here that is going to hopefully turn the light on for all of us. 1 Samuel 16, I'm going to put some of the verses on the screen, but not all of them. 1 Samuel 16, it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? Since I have rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. Saul's not dead. Saul is still king, and Saul is just made a big blunder, and God's that revealed, not that it's God doesn't overlook mistakes, but it revealed what Saul's heart was really about. And God's like, no, that's not a leader. Saul's still alive. And Samuel is like, man, I anointed that dude. Samuel's feeling the same grief and remorse and all the rest of it and God's rejection. He's feeling it. And God's like, okay, Samuel, it's time to move on. I'm calling you to anoint someone else. I've selected a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. This makes me laugh. Just to be honest, I read this and I was like, huh? Did God just tell Samuel to lie? Because I'm thinking, this is written by Samuel, by the way. And I'm thinking, what a great excuse. You get caught and it's like, why did you lie, Samuel? God told me to? Sure. God's like, hey, if you get caught, Samuel, just say this. Okay, God told me. Don't you try that. I just read this and I was like, what? Anyway. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? And he said, in peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. He did it. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they entered, he looked at Eliab, the oldest, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Do not look at his appearance. Do not look at your appearance or the height of your stature. Some of you, that's easier than others. Or the number of followers you have on Instagram. Or the money in your bank account, or the giftings that you have or don't have, that you think you don't have. Come on, because God doesn't see you the way others see you. God doesn't see you the way you see you. God sees you and looks at the heart. God sees differently than we look at ourselves, than we allow others to look at us. God sees us differently. Do you see that? We must be able to look at ourselves the way God does. Like David wrote down in Psalm 139. Verse 8, then it says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen those. Now listen, it's not that God has rejected these guys. It's just that these aren't the ones that God purposed to be the next king. Okay, I want you to see that. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all of your children? And he said, well, there remains one, the youngest. And so, and scholars have taken this verse and some of the other verses in Psalm 52 and different ones, and they have basically surmised that potentially, this is not the truth, this is what some historians, it's not certain, it doesn't give us clarification, but some historians think that the reason why David wasn't paraded in front of this is because his father, that David was born through an adulterous relationship with his mother or with either his dad's adulterous relationship, that he was born in this regard and wasn't viewed by his father as pure or welcomed, all the rest of it. So if that's the truth, I want you to know, and this is what I love, because whether it's the true or not true, there's many other instances in the Bible where God chooses the lineage of Jesus to come through Rahab the prostitute, to come through Ruth the foreigner, all the rest of the things that we look at our circumstances and our birth and saying, I am now disqualified from a calling because something doesn't just line up with what other people think is right or wrong, or I was born in adverse circumstances. Listen, God doesn't see that. Man sees that. God doesn't see that. Nobody is a mistake. Nobody is overlooked. Nobody is born an accident. And Samuel said to Jesse, there remains the youngest, and behold, he's feeding the sheep, tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. I hope he was close. Verse 12. So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then verse 13, I want you to see this. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. From that day forward. David gets unexpectedly called while he was just, at this time, David's just a young teenager. God saw him on the side of a hill when no one else did. Not even David's father saw him or counted him worthy. And yet God found him on the side of a hill, tending sheep. And come on. There's sometimes we're like, well, I'm not, and I'm just, and all the things that we do, all the excuses that we make up, and all the reasons why, I'm just from Lethbridge. Like, what is God? You know, I'm not from, and I don't have these opportunities, and I don't know. God can find you anywhere. The truth is, God has found you. God saw him when no one else did. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's good for David. I'm not called to be a king. David's called to be a king. And I'm not called, and there's not writing Bible about me. Like, I'm not called like David's called. Except Paul told us that all of us have been anointed and appointed. Look at this in Ephesians 1. Verse 11 and 12 in the Message Bible. I love this. It says this. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. In other words, it's in Christ that we find out who we are, who we're purposed to be, and why we exist. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had his eyes on us. So if you're here this morning, you're going, okay, in Christ, I can find out who I am. He says, listen, before you even knew that Jesus existed, before you ever chose to follow Jesus, he doesn't change his plan. He doesn't suddenly make plans for you and start writing your name in a book when you declare that he is Lord. He, before you even knew him, before you even knew he existed, before you ever chose to follow him, God still had a plan for you. So there is no one exempt from the purposes of God. No one. He had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything. And what's the next word? And everyone. Say, that means me. That means me. That means you.
part of the overall purpose. We fit into the overall purpose. Again, not one person here is an accident. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're currently doing. It doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe. You are chosen by God and created by God on purpose, for a purpose, for such a time as this. Now watch, we discover our calling in Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it makes sense because it makes sense that our purpose would be discovered through the Creator. Now watch, one of the lies of the enemy, one of the greatest lies of the enemy that's perpetrating our society today is this idea in questioning whether God is the Creator. Our kids, come on, you were taught in school. Our kids are taught in school that there is not a Creator, capital C. That this is just an accident. That this is just the Big Bang. This is this evolution. This is just the evolving of things. All the things that we're taught. And listen. When we begin to believe that the world is an accident, it's the devil's lie to make you believe you're an accident. And that what the devil is most scared of is a Christian knowing who they are. And a Christian and a believer knowing and a human being finding out who they are and the fact that they are made on purpose for a purpose for such a time as this. He's terrified of that. And so all these elaborate schemes that can make you doubt whether or not there's a Creator. If there's not a Creator, then maybe we are an accident. But the Bible says there is a Creator. And the Bible says that before you were even created, that Creator wrote your name down and your why down and your purposes down and ordained for you before you were even born. And I love it. Paul says that God called us before we ever had a relationship with him. See, David got called at a specific age, and he discovered his why. But listen, God had already preordained that why before Samuel ever made it known. And there's ways that God will make it known to you, your why, before you get there. Now watch. We're going to discover some of that. But what I want to close today with is I want you to know that everyone has a purpose. But I also want you to know that there's some common disqualifiers that all of us, the things that we do, that we tend to disqualify ourselves. God doesn't disqualify you no matter what you've done. But sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we don't believe. Or here's four common ones. And each one of these is, I'm sure, is going to resonate with you in your heart. And we're going to challenge some of these things and going, okay, let's make it clear. Number one, the first disqualifier is fear. We say, I won't. And here's a common one for me. I was taught in Sunday school when I was a child that, you know, God's called you and all the rest of it. And I was taught that if you wanted to be a good Christian, that you were going to have to do things that you hated. Anybody else taught that? That you're going to have to go to places you didn't want to go. You're going to have to do things you didn't want to do. That God's going to cause you to sacrifice and lead you in a life. If you're really a true believer, you're going to live a life of pain and misery and all the rest of it. That's the true test of a Christian. That's what I was taught when I was little. Anybody else? Okay. So therefore, I started to disqualify myself and saying, I love you, Jesus. Please don't send me to Africa. There's songs about that. Come on, that was one of the songs in Sunday school. You don't believe me? Anybody want to verify that? Please don't send me to Africa. Now I love going to Africa. It's crazy. But I was afraid to discover my calling and my purpose because God may send me somewhere I don't want to go or ask me to do something I don't want to do. But did you know that David again said this? He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That God isn't this mean, demanding being. That if you delight yourself and you connect with him in relationship, he's going to pull out desires in your heart. And here's what I've discovered, is that your calling, your destiny, your purpose is linked to your passions. That there's things that you like to do that I hate to do. Guess what? I'm not called to do what you're called to do. And there's things that I do that you'd hate to do. Talking in front of people. But guess what? There's things that I'm called to do that you're not called to do. That God is not going to call you to do something you hate. That if God calls you to do something, there's going to be a passion and a desire and a drive inside you. You're going to delight in him, and he's going to give you the desires. He's going to reveal to you the desires in your heart, and that your call is linked to those desires. The second disqualifier is insecurity. This is a big one. I can't, or I'm not, right? I can't do that. If I discovered I can't, or I don't have anything to offer, or I'm not as good as somebody else at that. Like, I'm not called like that. I don't have opportunity like that. Who am I? And often we live in a world that, listen, there's insecurity is fueled by comparison. And we live in a world where comparison is a huge trap. Thank you, social media. Where all of a sudden we can watch on somebody's social media and we can see all their highlight reels and we compare our behind the scenes to their highlight reels and then we feel grossly insecure. And then we're like, well, I could never do that and I can't do this. And then we live in a world that, thanks to the media and social media and all the rest of it, that we see all these amazing gifted people and we see somebody that's way more talented than us in the area that we feel called to. And we're like, I could never be like that. And then we disqualify ourselves because of our own insecurity. But God didn't call you to be them. God didn't call you to reach those who they're reaching. God called you to be you. And God's not going to call you and not equip you for that call. The third disqualifier is ignorance. I don't know if I can fit anything else into my schedule. I'm too busy. The truth is, we will always fill our time with something. Anybody meet somebody there's a number of you in the room here. There's people who are retired often say the same thing. I'm busier now than I've ever been. Is that true? Anybody that's retired saying, like, I'm busier now? Listen, we are human beings. We will always find something to fill our time. And to fill our minds and occupy, we'll always find something. The idea is we need to determine our priorities. And we will find things to fill our time, but if we discover our why, we will also discover priorities and put things in order. Sure. The fourth one is complacency. I'm good. I'm already using my gifts. I'm comfortable with what I'm doing. In fact, some of you are irritated that I'm pulling out some callings and there's some things stirring inside you and you're going, no, I'm good. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm good. Stop stirring that up. I don't want to do any more. I don't want to do anything else. I'm good. I'm comfortable. And often this excuse, by the way, is fueled by this false idea of the sacred and the secular. Let me explain that. is that we have, in our Western world, we have this idea that this is my sacred time, this is my devotion time, this is my church time, this is my spiritual life, and this is my real life. The secular, this is my job, this is my neighbor, this is my friends, this is my recreation time, and this is my church time. But listen, to God, there is no divide between the sacred and the secular. We don't go to church, we are. Okay, there's no divide. And we can't be complacent. Gordon, your call is not a call to change vocation necessarily. Your call is to awaken your purpose, your God-given purpose, where you are. I love how Jesus called Peter and Andrew. They were fishing. And you know what Jesus said to them? Hey, I see you're skilled and you're trained and you're equipped and your vocation is fishing. I'm going to make you fishers of men. He didn't change their skill set in order to fulfill their call. He identified their skill set and said, hey, your call is in line with that. The truth is, in these fours, every one of us is plagued by one or more of these calling blockers, these disqualifiers. And the question is, how do we overcome them? That's what I'm going to equip you with in the coming weeks. Because remember, here's the key verse. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Now, I want you to read this verse again, except I want you to make it personal. I want you to begin saying, I am God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do good things that he planned for me to do long ago. And I want you to memorize this verse, and I want you to quote this verse all week long over and over and over again and make it personal. I am God's masterpiece. I've been created anew in Christ Jesus to do good things he planned for me to do long ago. I am God's masterpiece. Say it over and over and over and over and over and over again until you believe it. Not just here, but here. I'm God's masterpiece. I've been created for a purpose. Amen. In fact, today's takeaway, if you dare, is I'm God's masterpiece. And then watch, I dare you to put it on. The reason I dare you is I dare you to put it on social media. And then watch the comments coming back. And the comments coming back are going to be from insecure people who don't believe that they're God's masterpiece, so they got to tear you down to their level so they can feel good about themselves. Come on. C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. The problem is we have false humility in our society, don't we, that we have to tear ourselves down. And you know, just declare, look in the mirror every morning saying, I'm God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus for good things that he's purposed for me to do. I am God's masterpiece. In fact, print this out, this verse out on your mirror so that you look at it and you see it and that you believe it. I am God's masterpiece. I'm not one of the ones left out. I'm not an accident. I am God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. I am called. I am chosen. I was made on purpose, for a purpose, for this time. Imagine what would happen if each of us discovered our God-given purpose and began to walk confidently in it. Next week, we're going to discover that God didn't create you for a purpose without giving you tools necessary to accomplish those purpose. And the Bible shows us the tools. That you've been given specific tools. God didn't equip you with a purpose without giving you the tools necessary to get that purpose done. And that by identifying the tools, we can often identify the purpose. So next week, we're going to dive into the tools. Is this okay? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, that you didn't insert us on the planet and then just leave it to ourselves to figure it out, that you gave us an instruction manual to
to show us our why, to explain to us the tools you created for us to utilize. And I pray right now for each one listening to the sound of my voice, that your Holy Spirit would stir, not just from my words, but stir from your words, Lord, in their hearts and their minds, that they would know that they know that they know that they're your masterpiece. In Jesus' name, amen.